seal out drafts, dust, and moisture with MD brand weather stripping from Menards. A well-sealed home is more comfortable and energy efficient. We have the largest selection of in-stock weather stripping with over 100 products available to take home and start lowering your energy bills today. Save big money on weather stripping right now at Menards and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi there, you're listening to Clan Chat, the official podcast of Glasgow Clan Ice Hockey Club, and we're heading into another weekend of action with Pete Russell and the team. I'm Craig Anderson, and we've got another busy show for you as we look back at the midweek trip to Milton Keynes Lightning, but more importantly, look forward to the two home games coming up this weekend. Joining me this week is Free Sports broadcaster and commentator Aaron Murphy. He looks back on what turned into a very eventful day at Milton Keynes when the Clan were beaten 6-1 by Lightning. Defenceman Zach Sullivan comes on to reflect on that trip as well, but he looks ahead to Sheffield Steelers and Milton Keynes coming to town this weekend. Sheffield Stars head of sport Bob Westerdale gives us the inside track on the Steelers ahead of their visit to Glasgow on Friday night. And you will absolutely love to hear from the former player I have lined up for you this week, but you'll have to wait to catch that. There's a wee clue. And it's all here once more in this edition of Clan Chat.
Hey, I'm Joel Rumpel, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
We're not hanging about this week, and it's straight into the week that was, and it began with two games against Coventry Blaze, with the Clan winning both home and away to pick up a maximum four-point weekend. It was tense and nervous to the end as Matt Becker scored the winning goal in overtime to take the first 2 points in front of the Purple Army, with Glasgow winning 5-4 on Saturday. On Sunday, it was off to the Sky Dome, and the guys were able to keep that momentum going as they beat the Blaze 4-2 with Rasmus Bjerrum, Gerard Hansen, Craig Peacock and Scott Tansky all on target, capping off a great couple of wins over Coventry Blaze. On to Wednesday, and for the first time this season, the Clan were playing in front of a live television audience as Pete Russell returned to former club Milton Keynes Lightning for the first time since he left them at the end of last season. Sadly, the good run was halted as Glasgow fell to a 6-1 loss against a team who had announced earlier in the day that their coach, Doug McKay, was leaving the club. That bombshell news seemed to galvanise them as Tim Wallace, who along with Ryan Lannan were announced as temporary co-coaches, he netted a hat-trick as discipline was something of an issue for the Clan on the night. Matt Stanish was the only scorer for the Clan on a night to forget, and one man who watched the action unfold in front of his eyes was Free Sports broadcaster and commentator Aaron Murphy, who spoke to me on Thursday and gave his reflections on the game.
Well, the Clan, I mean, they knew it was going to be tough because I think whenever you play against a team that's made a big off-ice change like the Lightning did yesterday. Obviously, everyone knows Doug McKay is not part of the club on the bench anymore. So I think the Clan went down there knowing, okay, they're going to come out hard at us. We're going to have to weather a bit of a storm. And I think that the Lightning knew that this was a chance to press the reset button, so they were a very dangerous prospect at home for the Clan. And I think that Tim Wallace, who's taken over the coaching reins with Ryan Lannan, Tim Wallace had a big power play goal in that first period. I just kind of got the ball rolling after the opening goal. He made a 2-0 Wallace on the power play. Their power play hasn't been good, and I think that just a lot of things fell into place for the Lightning, and unfortunately it got away from Glasgow a bit. And for a team going into the game with just 189 penalty minutes, Glasgow, I think they had 63 penalty minutes last night. So, I mean, they came off the form book of being one of the most disciplined teams. I mean, Cardiff, the least penalized team with 155, and then you got Glasgow. But now, obviously, a 63 penalty minute game last night. They spent the whole second period shorthanded, so it was tough. My main reflection was off form because of the discipline, and just they knew they were up against a tough, a wounded animal, if you will, in Milton Keynes. And Tim Wallace, I spoke with him a few times this week. He had a look of a man that wasn't going to lose that game last night, and he had, you know, the hat-trick 3 power play goals. So it was not to be for Glasgow last night.
I mean, Pete Russell would have looked forward to going back to Milton Keynes. He's got a lot of friends there, obviously, having worked there previously. But you touched upon the news that came out of the club yesterday. Would he have anticipated that in his build-up?
Well, we spoke with... Chris L spoke with Coach Russell ahead of the game, both on camera and off. I spoke with him off camera as well. He really likes it there, and it's amazing as we're standing there having a chat. Kids are coming up and high-fiving them and saying, oh, good to see you. So he obviously has left a great impression on the fans there in that building, in that hockey community in Milton Keynes. And he speaks very highly. He goes, look around. Everyone's smiling. It's a great place. It's a great building. There's a great vibe. You know, they're loud. He told me yesterday, this is going to be loud tonight one way or the other. And he was certainly right, because at times Paulady and I couldn't even hear each other, even with earpieces in. So Pete, I think he was really looking forward to it. And he spent a lot of time with fans and young kids, especially chatting and high-fiving yesterday before the game. So obviously he was excited to be back. But I also think in the back of his mind he knew this is going to be trouble, because Milton Keynes, whenever you make a coaching change, it always seems that team that's made the coaching change comes out and they just throw caution to the wind and go for it. And that's certainly what Milton Keynes did yesterday. But I think Pete was looking forward to it. I think I don't think he would have changed the way he prepared at all, because he can't do that. But I think he would have known in the back of his mind, they probably, if they would have got the first goal, or if they could have got a couple ahead, they would have put the doubts into Milton Keynes' mind. Because remember, when you guys played them up there in Glasgow, you came out and had 4 or 5 goals straight away. You buried them. So I think they needed a good start, and it just, again, it wasn't to be for Glasgow.
I mean, you put a statement out on the website, Pete, about the lack of discipline that the team showed, just particularly during the second period. As someone calling the game, was that a surprise to you as well?
Yeah, 100%. Like I said, one of the things I noticed in the prep was that, you know, Cardiff, we know Cardiff are good. They might be on a bad skid right now, but Cardiff, you know, still the team to beat, I guess. 155 penalty minutes at this point. The Clan had 189, so I thought this will be trouble for the Lightning, because the Lightning were the second most penalized, and the Clan being the second least penalized. So I thought if the Lightning go to the form book and march to the penalty box all game long, then Pete's power play will pick them apart. But it was a total reversal of roles. I mean, the Storm, Manchester, the most penalized team, and going into last night's game, the Lightning were the second most penalized team. So I thought they might, if there was going to be indiscipline, it might have come from the home side. But whatever went down with Lannan and Wallace taking over those coaching reins together, they had that team ready to go last night, and they turned the other cheek a few times, other than when you saw Cole Shudra go after Connolly, of course. But, I mean, it was a disciplined performance, a much more disciplined performance than I would have expected from the Lightning on the form book, and a way more undisciplined or indisciplined from the Clan based on their previous statistics.
Now, we're at Thursday as I speak to you, but there's no time for the Clan to feel sorry for themselves. They've got two quick home games coming up, starting against the Steelers on Friday, and then Milton Keynes come to Glasgow on Saturday as well. Is that a good thing for the Clan to bounce back with these games coming so quickly?
Yeah, there's nothing worse if you lay an egg like that and have a real bad game, and then you've got a week to mull it over and chew it over and just feel bad about yourself. The fact that Tom Barrasso and the Steelers, who are a much better side the last few weeks, are coming to town should be motivation enough for the Clan. And then to have a revenge over the Lightning within a few days, that should be, first and foremost, obviously take care of business on Friday night, but then try and get on top of the Lightning early Saturday night. I think it's great after what would be considered a substandard performance against the Lightning on Free Sports Wednesday to get right back in the saddle on Friday against a much improved Steelers side.
And I'm curious to know, you know, I spoke to you a bit about what goes on behind the scenes and, you know, what you do in terms of preparation. We spoke about the news of Milton Keynes losing Doug McKay yesterday. How did that affect things in a production side? Talk us through the day and how you had to change things.
It was a long day. It was a fun day. Because it's live TV, right? And things happen. It's not a movie and it's not scripted. You know, and you have to expect that. And I saw that announcement yesterday. I got a kind of a wind of change coming through there, and I thought something could happen today. And as soon as I saw that, I'm like, well, I didn't even need to read the statement. I was on to our producer Ian straight away and said, look, this has happened, and we need to, obviously, we're not going to have Chris Ellis lined up with Doug McKay anymore, which would have been, you know, it would have been done ahead of time. This is what time, and this is when the camera will be there. So then we went about the the task of finding the best solution. Who's taking over the coaching reins? Okay, well, it's Lannan and Wallace. We had already asked Tim Wallace if he'd come on the post-game show. So then you move down the line, you go, well, Lannan is not playing. He's on the bench tonight, so that's the pregame chat, and you find numbers for those guys. You send out texts, and you know, and it sounds like it would take 5 minutes, but it took a few hours to get everything around, you know, worked out, and to make sure that guys were happy to talk on camera. And obviously, you got to change your running order, and you know, a cameraman who thought he was interviewing Doug McKay at 6:15 is now interviewing somebody else at 4 and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's fun, right? It's live TV, as I said, but I suspected something was up, and sure enough, when I saw that statement on Doug McKay, I didn't even need to read it. I texted the producer and said, you know, there's been a coaching change here, so let's react quickly, because that was lunchtime, and I was on my way to the rink from the airport hotel in Luton. So we didn't have much time to turn it all around, and you want to make sure that, because now you got player coaches taking over, right? And you don't want to interfere with their pregame routine. So we had to talk to Wallace and Lannan about that, and then we knew Lannan wasn't playing, so he was happy to do the pregame show. So it all came together nicely. As you know, the players and backroom staff in the EIHL, very approachable, usually very agreeable, and that was the case yesterday.
Well done on that. And just before we go, you're off to do a KHL commentary as I speak to you. What's the next Elite League game that the fans can look forward to on Free Sports?
Yeah, we're right back at it next week. It's Coventry-Guildford, which will be a fun one. That comes from the Sky Dome next Wednesday, which will be good. I think that's, what, November 21st, and we're on air live from 7 p.m. Paul Ady, Chris Ellis will be along, and face-off 7:30 from Coventry. And Guildford are a fun team. We've done one of their games already, and I expect that they'll come out. And that first line, that Reddick-Dunbar combo, is fun to watch, and I expect Cali Accurate will be in good form. And then for the Blaze, they've been pretty good on home ice, and they'll want to put on a show, hopefully on TV. So I expect that to be another good game. We've been lucky from a storyline perspective. You know, the Ben O'Connor overtime win on Halloween after returning from Sweden. Obviously, the coaching change yesterday and Tim Wallace getting the hat trick with 3 power play goals. So hopefully we'll get a big storyline and a good game next Wednesday between the Blaze and the Flames.
Matt Stanish, you're listening to Clan Chat.
Alan Murphy of Free Sports joining me there as he reflected on the MK Clan game from Wednesday. And if the game was a hard one to watch for some of you, it was certainly hard to play in, as I found out when I caught up with defenceman Zach Sullivan. We spoke about the weekend games coming up when Sheffield Steelers and Milton Keynes come to town. But first of all, I asked him what it was like to play in that game.
It was quite a difficult game to play. We kind of lost our heads in the second period, and we ended up killing most of the period. And if you end up killing a period, it's very hard to get a foothold in the game and gain momentum. And we said after the second that we're still only 4-1 down, and there's still a possibility to come back and win this game. And I think we played better in the third, but obviously they had the momentum with them, and they had their heads going with a 4-1 lead, and they managed to put a couple more past us. So it wasn't a good day in the office by anyone's standards. But fortunately, we have a game tomorrow that we can bounce back with.
Yeah, you do. We'll get to that in just a second. I just want to ask about the news that came out of Milton Keynes yesterday that their coach, Doug McKay, was leaving the club. Obviously, it shouldn't change things too much in terms of the opponents you're coming up against, but it would certainly have given them a momentum, an opportunity for them to react to that. Were you prepared for that?
Yeah, we heard about that on the way down. We're not sure about the circumstances that it occurred on, but when a coach leaves, there's obviously going to be a coach that comes in, and they want to prove a point to the coach that's coming in that they can do their jobs properly and they can perform at the standard of the league. And they came out flying. They knew that we were going to have a long bus journey, and they took full advantage of that.
Now, on to the weekend. We start on Friday against the Sheffield Steelers that you've already mentioned there, Sully. How important is it to get good bounce back on the back of that disappointment at Milton Keynes?
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a big game. They're flying since they got their new coach and Ben O'Connor came back, so they're a dangerous team and we need to respect them. And I think if we play the right way and we play how Pete wants us to, then we have a very good chance of winning the game.
Of course, you won down in Sheffield a couple of months back now. A very different team, a different coach back then as well. So it's fair to say you will expect a completely different Steelers team from that one.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they were still dangerous when we played them in Sheffield, but they've got some very good and some very big wins under their belts now, and they'll be confident coming up here. So absolutely, we have to respect them like the team they are, and we've got to play to the best ability that we can, and then that will give us a chance to win the game.
And of course, the start's important, especially after the Wednesday game, as we've talked about already. How important is getting a good start, and how it sets the tone for the rest of the game?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the start is, ice hockey is a momentum game, and whoever manages to build the momentum up quickest has the best chance of winning the game, and that comes off the start, obviously. So we need to be ready to come out the blocks firing, and hopefully we can do that, and we give as I said, we give ourselves best chance to win the game.
Are you surprised at how disappointing a season Sheffield have had so far? They've got high standards at that club, as everybody knows, but given how it started for them, that they're clawing their way back, are you surprised at how it's gone?
No, not really. They, like you said, they had a bad start to the season, but anyone can have that. You can have the best players in the world and still have a bad start to the season. And like you say, now they're clawing their way back up the league, as you would expect them to. So I think they're still the Sheffield Steelers that everyone's seen from the last few years. They just had a slightly worse start than everyone else.
And of course, on to Saturday, Milton Keynes come to town on the back of that that game on Wednesday. Is it now a bigger game than maybe what it was 24 hours ago?
Yeah, absolutely. When any team takes it to you like that, you want to pay them back. And fortunately, we've got a chance to do that earlier than you might normally have. And yeah, absolutely, we want to show them that 6-1 is a one-off and it's not going to happen again.
And I'm sure you'd love to see the sort of performance we got when you played Milton Keynes at home a few weeks ago. You roared into a 4-goal lead after 8.5 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if we can play how we did in the first 8.5 minutes in that game on Friday and on Saturday, then we give ourselves the best chance to win the games.
Is it fair to say the guys are hurting after that last night?
Yeah, absolutely. We know that the fans watching wouldn't have been happy, and we're not happy with ourselves, and we need to pay everyone back what they deserve, and hopefully we do that with two very good performances over the weekend.
And of course, it's a big comfort as well, the fact you are coming home, you're going to be in front of your own fans cheering you on and help you try and get over that bad spell.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to play in front of our fans. They're always loud, they're always proud, and hopefully we can give them something to be proud of.
I'm Zach Fitzgerald, and you're listening to the Clan Chat.
Clan defenceman Zach Sullivan talking to me there. Well, the weekend is starting early as Clan are in action on Friday when they take on Sheffield Steelers, and it's a Steelers team that are very different to the one Glasgow faced in Sheffield at the start of October. Back then, Paul Thompson was in charge and under pressure as bad result after bad result took its toll on the team. Thompson left and has since been replaced by Tom Barrasso, a former netminder with a wealth of experience as a player in the NHL, including 2 Stanley Cup wins. A few personnel changes later, including the return of defenceman Ben O'Connor, has seen them begin to claw their way back into the reckoning. And going into the game on Friday, they've won 4 of their last 5. Clan, however, have won the last 2 meetings, so it sets up what will be a fascinating contest between the two teams. From a media point of view, it's been a busy time, certainly for the local trips, in what's arguably been a more eventful start to the season compared to previous years. So that was certainly the case when I caught up with head of sport at the Sheffield Star, Bob Westerdale, where I asked him what it's been like to cover them recently.
Well, I should be an expert on Sheffield Steelers. I was thinking this earlier because I've been watching them since they started in 1991, so I should know a little bit about them, but probably your guess is as good as mine, really, about this current team, even if you've not seen them, because they're so incredibly inconsistent. And last weekend was the perfect example. They concede 6 at home on Saturday and lose, and then they go to Dundee and win 6-1 away. If ever a weekend sums up the whole deal, it was that one. It all really dates back to last season where they didn't win anything. So the then coach, Paul Thompson, decided to strip away 2/3 of the team. Then he was a bit unlucky because a couple of ones he wanted to keep left. So he brought all these new guys in, and it was fairly obvious from the start that they were short of leaders, short of characters, certainly short of scorers. And short of confidence as well when the results started going against them. So he started getting rid of some of those. I think now, if I look at the roster now, there's six left that started off the year, and there's four come in. And even last weekend, there's a debutant on Saturday night in DeLuca, who's a winger, and a debutant on Sunday in goal, Matt Climie. So it just never seems to stop evolving. It's bizarre.
And of course, you mentioned Paul Thompson, of course, who left the club. He was replaced by Tom Barrasso, who's come in. It looks as though Tom's making his mark on the team at last. You talk about the inconsistency, but there are signs of improvement, certainly.
Yeah, well, he's had 10 games, and it's not really his team there, and I don't suppose it ever will be, because he might bring the odd one in, but, you know, you can't really blame him for the ills of a side put together in the middle of summer. No matter how many changes you think you can make, you're not always going to get the type of person you want. I mean, the new guy who came in and played on the wing, he'd been, Barrasso had been asking for a speed merchant to come in. I was of the view that this guy so far isn't a speed merchant, but then again, he's not played for a while. The last position in the team that you would expect he'd get reinforcements for was in goal, because Jackson Whistle's done really well. I think he's done really well. And he brings somebody else in. So it's difficult. He looks the part. He looks like a Bond villain to me with his icy blue eyes. He's slightly intimidating in many respects. He's brought in a different system with the idea of being faster, and made different partnerships. And for him, one thing I do like about him is he's very big on accountability. I don't think there's anybody on that team that doesn't know what his role is and wouldn't know if he hadn't fulfilled it.
The return of Ben O'Connor, I thought, was quite significant. That led to a bit of a turnaround as well. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. If you picked out a couple of players that of this year's team that you'd always, you know, really want not to lose, O'Connor would be one. And he's come back as if he's never been away. He's played at a really good level for a good few years now. He had a lot of time in Kazakhstan and elsewhere. And he just comes back, and he's brimming with confidence. He's incredibly skilled. And if he's on form in Glasgow on Friday, I would expect Steelers to win. Now, that sounds ridiculous that one player can change a game, but he's good defensively, but offensively, you know, what's he got now? He's only been here for 5 games, and he's got, I'm just looking at, 8 points. So he's got 2 goals and 6 assists in 5 games. They brought a player in when he left initially. Obviously, he's come back again now, but when he left in the summer, they brought a Canadian bloke in, Josh McFadden, to do his role. And he's not a bad player at all, Josh McFadden, but he's not got anything like the points that O'Connor has, because he's just like a one-off. You know, he just sees the ice so well. He can do things, as we've seen with Great Britain, with a puck that nobody else can. So, yeah, it is great. If I was going to mention another player, this one's a new player, one for you to watch out for on Friday, and certainly one that Glasgow's going to have to try and neutralise, is Josh Pitt. He came in as a second-line centre. He's a big lad, looks the part, big beard, and he's not rough, but he's big and gets to the greasy areas. He was elevated to the first line a couple of weeks ago, and he's taken the spot of Evan McGrath, who's got a much more illustrious pedigree. But I think it's great. You know, 19 points in 23 games he's got. And he's a point machine, particularly on the power play. And that's another thing that Barrasso put right. Paul Thompson, when he was here, used to pull his hair out of the power play. But at least now it seems to be clicking.
Now, Sheffield's ambition is always to win the league. You know, they're a club that expect that. Maybe expects maybe a strong word, but when you consider that they've lost significant ground on the likes of Belfast, who are doing really well at the moment, Cardiff maybe have a little bit of a blip in form at the moment, what would you say is the ambition for Steelers this year in terms of the league?
It's hard one, that, because I think Steelers fans, and I suppose I put myself in that bracket as well, have to learn that those days have gone where you're always going to win a trophy. You know, like winning, if he had a season where he just won the playoffs, it didn't feel great. You know, this team has been in, this club has been imbued in winning the league title. And quite frankly now, if you look at Steelers in terms of results and personnel against Belfast in particular and Cardiff, you know, I can't see with this team as getting in the top two, maybe top three if they make it a lurch. See, like Glasgow, for instance, they've beaten Coventry, Milton Keynes, Dundee just recently, but in the same spell, they've lost to Cardiff, I think, and Belfast. Mm. So that perhaps tells me where you are, but that's where I think we are too. So Friday night's going to be quite educational. I'm not saying that who's going to find out who's the worst of the two, but certainly I think this season, if Tom Barrasso pulls it off and they win anything, that'll be an amazing achievement for him.
So that's how you see the game going on Friday. What do you make of Glasgow as a whole? Obviously, they had to recover from the disappointment of last year, but what's the view down there from what Pete Russell's done so far?
I don't think anybody has a bad word to say about Glasgow. And the reason for that is just two words, Zach Fitzgerald. When I think about the, since 1991, where I've been watching them, if I was to start detailing the 10 most popular players in all of that time, I would definitely put Zach in front of that. And when I said at the outset here that, you know, we were in Sheffield, we were short of leaders and short of characters at the beginning of this year, we were short of Zach Fitzgerald because, you know, like, he would sometimes cost you a game because he might get, you know, a little bit too physical or you know, and get the big marching orders. But more often than not, you know, when the brown solids hit the fan, he would be the person, the go-to person that everybody would look to. And off the ice, as you'll be able to, as you'll know yourself, he's just an astonishing asset. And we really miss him. And any team that he plays on will always have a little bit of affection. I mean, they played at Sheffield, didn't they, earlier this year?
Yeah, that's right.
Glasgow.
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, quite a sentimental return. And then he just switches his head on and does his job. And everybody respects him for that. So I don't think anybody in Sheffield will look past him. You've got some good players, obviously. But like Sheffield, I can't see either of those two teams challenging in the top order at the end of the league. They might win a cup or something, but I can't see either of them winning the league. That's me being negative, hoping I'm going to be proved wrong.
I'm Matt Cowlett, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
Sheffield Star head of sport Bob Westerdale joining me on Clan Chat. Remember, this game with the Steelers is not part of your season ticket, so get on over to the Clan website, clanihc.com, or Ticketmaster, and get those tickets straight away. Face-off is at 7:30 on Friday. I've been looking forward to this one, and it's time to chat to a former player who tells us what it was like to play for the club, share some memories, and reveals what they're up to now. This player joined the club in 2013 after 3 years with Colorado Eagles in the ECHL and went on to play 121 times in the former Brayhead Purple, helping the team to the playoff finals weekend in 2014 and into a second place finish in the Elite League standings in 2015, assisting in the club's qualification to the Champions Hockey League the following campaign. He came back for one night only and was inducted onto the Clan Wall of Fame in 2016 and still holds a special place in the hearts of the Clan fans for his services to the club. Rather than tell you the player's name, because you probably already know who I'm talking about anyway, I'll lead in with this song. Jonesy, it's been a few years since we saw you playing for the Brayhead Clan. What's the one endearing thing you remember from your time at the club?
Oh, wow. I mean, there's so many things. There's so many memories that Heidi and I reflect back on a regular basis. You know, the people, the fans, the hockey itself, the people we played with, the coaching staff, everything is just such great memories. I can't believe it's been 3.5 years now since I've been away.
It says a lot that you've been the only netminder to stay at the club for two straight years, if you exclude the backup guys that you've worked with as well. So take me back to the summer of 2013. Ryan Finnerty brought you to the club. How did all that come about?
It was a little bit of a late signing, I remember. I had been playing in Colorado for 3 years prior, and I thought that I would be, you know, I thought I'd be signing back in Colorado to have another year there, but it was kind of a late decision by them not to bring me back. So I kind of had to, try and find a spot where I wanted to go and where I thought it'd be a good fit. And I had always wanted to, play overseas, and I heard a lot of great things about the British Elite League, and I thought it would be a great fit, and luckily Finner was still looking for a guy, and the opportunity came about, and kind of just had to jump at it.
Anytime I speak to guys like yourself, and when I do this segment with them, they always talk about the fans and the backing that they got from the fans. You get great backing from the fans. You even got your own theme tune as well. You must not hear Casey and the Sunshine Band in the same way.
No, definitely not. And you know what's funny is still, I do check Twitter every once in a while still, and I'll get a video from a fan still to this day every once in a while of them singing the song because it came on the radio or something like that. So it's very special and something that I'll never get old.
Tell me about that first season. It was quite an interesting first season. The club finished mid-table in the end, but got all the way to the playoff finals weekend. Good group of guys as well. Tell us about some of the characters that were in the locker room that year.
It was a good group, We started out with what we thought would be a contending team, and some changes were made along the way. Guys like Nathan Moon left early, and we thought he was going to be a big piece of the puzzle, but unfortunately he left, and we had to move on without him. But, guys stepped up, and we brought in some other names, and we were able to go to the finals weekend, as everybody knows, that weekend, that season, which was a huge accomplishment. But, yeah, guys like Bergie and Eddie McGrain and Ash Goldie and, Joel Champagne, Shane Lust, Arcee, all these guys were just, it was just a good group of guys. Everybody got along and wanted to be around each other, and it was fun coming to the rink every day.
And the weekend at Nottingham, a lot of the fans go, that's the only clan team that's ever made it to the finals weekend, so they're quite happy to go as neutrals and see the action. But this was the one year they actually had something to be interested in from a home perspective. What was it like to play in?
Going into it, I wasn't sure what to expect. I figured it was going to be a raucous, weekend and a lot of fun, which it was. It turned out to be, just more than anything I could have expected. It was, everybody was so wild and so into it. And no matter who was playing, the crowd was incredible. And I feel fortunate to have been able to be there.
So what made you decide to come back for a second year then? Did what happened at the end of that first season, was that a factor in helping you decide that a second season was what you wanted?
Yeah, there was no question. If I was going to keep playing another year, there was no question I'd be, wanting to stay in Brayhead. And I knew Finner was on board as well and wanted me to come back, which was obviously a positive for me. And yeah, you're right. Our success in that first year was a big part of it as well. We wanted to see what we can do to build on what we had accomplished that year. And during the regular season, we did just that, coming within, I believe, 1 or 2 points of winning the league that year. Unfortunately, the playoffs didn't work out as we anticipated, but I do believe that we accomplished our goal in, building on what we had started in that first year.
That was an incredible season, that one, the 2014-15. It, of course, ended with the Clan qualifying for the Champions Hockey League, the one and only time they did that. Right. Was that something you would have liked to have done when you look back?
Yeah, absolutely. I took the off season to think about, my future after that second year and what I was going to do moving forward. And I was a little bit on the fence whether I was going to play or not. I knew if I was going to play, I wanted to play with Brayhead. And it turns out that I decided that I did want to play again. But unfortunately, the club had other plans, and they decided to move on, which is fair. Hockey's a business, and I completely understood. But going from that, then I mean, there wasn't. I know there was rumors out there. I was coming to other places in the Elite League, but there was no possibility. I wasn't going to play anywhere but Brayhead.
And of course, that led to you deciding to retire from the sport. You talked about how, you know, taking the time to decide on your future, making the big decision. As decisions go, that was a huge one. How hard was it to decide to walk away?
It was. It definitely was. I knew I was going to miss a lot of things about hockey, the lifestyle in general, and I knew what I was coming from and what I was going to, and what I was going to was, you know, a full-time job in an office environment. And I know that can be a tough transition for a lot of people. But I think it was one that I was ready for and I was prepared for. So it definitely made the transition a little bit easier.
You were honoured with your own banner on the Wall of Fame at the back of Brayhead Arena. You came back for that one night, for that occasion. What a great night that was as well. When you look back on that night in particular, how special was that to be back in front of the Purple Army for something like that?
It was amazing. You know, I was thinking about it this morning when I knew you and I were going to speak today. I can't believe that was, you know, February of 2016. That was, it seems like yesterday. It's just that fond of a memory. And I was just so happy. Heidi and myself were both just so happy to be back there for what was just, I believe, 5 days, and just made the most of it. We know we were going to be back at some point, but at that point we didn't know when we'd be back again. So we had to make the most of it, and having everybody just being so supportive. And I remember after the game, the lineup of people wanting to say hi and have a few things signed was amazing. It was so long, and you know, I was there for a couple hours, which was absolutely fantastic.
What was it like to get that call telling you that you were going to be honoured in this way, and the invitation to come back over? How do you react to something like that? I mean, it is pretty huge.
It is, yeah. No, I remember getting the call. I was at work in the same place I am right as we speak, and I got a text from Finner saying, give me a call, and I thought that was a little strange, but I went downstairs and gave him a call, and he broke the news. So obviously extremely exciting, and had to hang up and call Heidi as soon as I could just to see if it was something we were able to pull off, and fortunately we were. And just so happy that Neil and Ryan and everybody and with the clan were able to brought me back for it as well.
You've talked about what you're doing now. You talk about the fact you're working in an office. What is it you're doing now? Tell us what you're up to nowadays.
So I work in the extremely exciting world of commercial insurance. I'm an underwriter for a company called Zurich North America. Actually, we have an office in Glasgow. So I underwrite commercial insurance policies for businesses for their business travel and for their corporate AD&D, and also for some special risk stuff like student accident, college sports, and stuff like that.
Interesting. And of course, I think you keep in touch with the clan in terms of the results and how they're doing and things like that. What do you make of them nowadays, now that you've come away from it and you're a fan like everybody else now, I suppose?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I'm following along, especially my good friend Matt Haywood, who I've kept in touch with ever since I left. So I always like to see, check in on how he's doing, and so happy to see that he was awarded assistant captain this year, which is very well deserved. So especially keep my eye on him, and you know, it's nice to see Fitzy back. I know the fans love him, so I'm sure it's, everything's been going great again this year for all of them.
Now, you mentioned Matt there. I know Matt listens to the show. He's got a testimonial coming up in a couple of years. If he was to put in a call and ask you to come back once more, what would you say?
I'd probably be there a month before, and I would stay for a month after. If that's the case, I'd be so excited to be a part of it.
I'm Gary Russell, and listen to Clan Chat.
Delighted to have Kyle Jones on the show there, and glad to hear he's doing well. A couple of parish notes before we call it a day here on this edition of Clan Chat, and another quick reminder to get your tickets for Friday's game with the Sheffield Steelers. A reminder, it is not part of your season ticket, so if you've not got your tickets yet, please do so. It's a 7:30 face-off. Head over to the Clan website, clanihc.com or Ticketmaster. You can also pick up tickets for Saturday's game against Milton Keynes Lightning. The rematch is a 7 o'clock face-off. Those tickets still available also. And don't forget to get your tickets for the Challenge Cup quarter-final first leg tie against the Cardiff Devils. That's on Wednesday, the 28th of November. Coming up really fast, that one. 7:30 face-off. Head on over to the website or Ticketmaster and get those as soon as you can. Finally, we want to extend our congratulations to Mac Howlett, who's been called up to the Great Britain under-20 side for their World Championship campaign, taking place in the Estonian capital of Tallinn in early January. And it's great to see him rewarded for a decent campaign so far for the Clan. Well done, Mac. That's it. Thanks for listening. Catch all the latest news around the club on the website, clanihc.com. Like the official Facebook page or follow us on Twitter and Instagram at clanihc. You can also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify or Audioboom, and the newest episode will download automatically to your device. Don't forget to leave a review. On behalf of producer Stuart Priest and myself, Craig Anderson, many thanks for listening, and I'll be back next week for more from around the Glasgow Clan. Talk to you soon. Bye for now.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.